Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Psychic Teachers. I'm Samantha Fay.
And I'm Deb Bowen.
And we are so delighted to have you here with us on the eve of Valentine's Day. We are going to be talking about love, right, Deb?
Absolutely, lots of love.
And manifesting love and ways to attract more harmony and peace into your lives.
And to the whole world around us.
Yeah, the connectivity of it as well, okay. Not just romantic love, although
right.
There will be plenty of that.
There will.
As you all know, who are our faithful and wonderful, loyal listeners, we always start off the show with a couple of the same things each week. I always start off with a white light meditation, and Deb always starts off with the Tarot card of the week, and then I jump in with the crystal of the week, and then we start on our topic.
Oh, in our healing circle.
In our healing circle, yes.
Right. Good, thanks.
So if we could all just take a deep breath and imagine ourselves in a lovely healing circle together. And on the exhale, if you could just release your day, your weekend, your week, your month, any anxieties about Monday morning coming up, or anything stressful you might have coming up this week, and just releasing it and letting it go with your breath. And now if you could imagine a beautiful white ball of healing light right at the top of your head, and just with the intent of your thought, breathe that white ball of healing, perfect light into your body. Breathe it into your head and your neck and your shoulders, feeling it absorbing anything stressful, negative, or fearful. Breathe it into your chest, your shoulders. Breathe it down into your stomach, your hips, your legs, your ankles, your feet, and your toes. And imagine it shining up so that it's completely enfolding you in its healing, relaxing white light. And as you breathe deeply, listening to my voice, feel that white light expanding and growing, and see it surrounding your family members, picturing a beautiful bubble of white light around each of your family members, your friends, any other loved ones in your life. Breathing deeply, picture a beautiful white bubble of light around your home, in your car or cars, your bikes, any mode of transportation you normally take to and from work. Put this beautiful white light around your work, your school, any other businesses that you engage each week. And now imagining this beautiful blanket of white light surrounding your city, your town, your state. See it wrapping itself around your country. And if we could all just picture the globe and see it wrapped in a protective blanket of white light. Thank you so much, everyone.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so do you want to do our tarot card, Deb?
I'd be delighted. As you all who are regular listeners know, we are working our way through the major arcana of the traditional Waite Rider deck. And tonight we are on key 18, which is the moon. You know, I probably say this every week, but this is one of my favorite cards. I love the symbols on this. The moon is pictured on this card in all three of her phases, waxing, full, and waning. The moon also is symbolic of the divine feminine. So in some traditions, we think of those phases of the moon as being maiden, mother, crone. So it's about honoring the cycles of our lives, not only every month as the moon rotates through the sky every 28 days, but also through our lifetime as we go from being young to being adults to being the wise woman or the wise man and being a crone. And the moon in this card has showering down from it these little teardrop-shaped, raindrop-looking things called yod. And yods are, in the Hebraic tradition, the concept of gifts from heaven that we have not asked for or not necessarily deserve. They're really kind of the Christian concept of grace. And beneath that, there is a wolf and a dog looking up at the moon with a crayfish coming out of water, and all of these beings are depicted between two towers. So this key really is about bringing spirit into manifestation. Because its number is 18, that makes a 9. 1 and 8 is 9. So it's a card of about a completion of our cycles in our lives, of becoming more initiated into finding our intuition. So this card really is about being connected by our intuition, to our imagination. If it appears in a reading for me, it is one of the two cards in the deck that most tells me that someone has latent psychic powers and abilities. So it's a card of intuition and a card of being connected to the cycles in our lives, which is, of course, a part of what being in love is learning to live with and understand and appreciate the cycles of relationships in our lives. So there you go.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Do you ever interpret the moon card when it comes up in a reading as secrets coming to light?
No.
Okay.
It's not that card for me. Is it for you?
Sometimes it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I just always think it's fun to see if it is for you as well.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so the crystal that I'm going to be discussing this week is rhodonite. I always say that wrong, rhodonite, really. It's spelled R-H-O-D-O-N-I-T-E. And it's a beautiful salmony pink splashed through with slashes of black. It's a wonderful stone for a lot of what Deb and I are going to be talking about, because it's a great healing heart chakra stone. It will help you to decrease anxiety. It'll help to heal emotional scars on your heart. It'll help you to open up to unconditional love. It'll increase your desire for service of some kind. It helps you to grow, a lot of inner growth, a lot of inner loving growth. It aids forgiveness. It's a calming stone. It helps to ease anger. It brings emotional balance. Because of the pink and the black, it's a stone of contrast. So it'll often bring contrast to your life, things that aren't meshing. The bright pink can indicate a lot of positivity, so it can help you to attract a good mate. And it can also help you to recognize while meditating with it some patterns you may have chosen in the past that helped you to attract maybe not a good mate. It's really known as the broken heart mender. It helps you to mend a broken heart. It helps to deal also with trauma and abuse issues. And I just want to read a little bit about what Cassandra Eason says about rhodonite in her book, Healing Crystals. It's actually, the full name is The Illustrated Directory of Healing Crystals. She says that rhodonite can help to heal family bitterness and serious rifts within the family. It encourages patience when others are being inefficient or unusually slow. She said at work, rhodonite can also ensure that your abilities are given due credit. And it's a good stone to give musicians and singers and peacemakers and peacekeepers. It's a stone for people in service industries. It helps children learn to shine and to develop their own unique talents in a safe environment. It's useful for children and teenagers who have trouble controlling their temper or are prone to swearing.
I know, I love that.
It's soothing for any creature with a skin condition. It helps to deflect negativity is really what it's known for. But I often recommend it for people who are dealing with a lot of anger from a past relationship. And I will often say, you know, just meditate with a piece of rhodonite on your heart chakra or wear it as jewelry, because it really will help you to ease that anger and come to a place of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. You have to tell you, the last time I went stone shopping, I bought a handful of them, and I wasn't quite sure why. They're just little tumbled stones. And then I got home and, of course, read what you have just read to us and realized that I really did buy them to give them away. And recently some friends have just had a baby, and I put together a medicine bag of stones as a baby gift for her, and I put a piece of rhodonite in there for her.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Good, thank you.
So, and we also have a lot of friends who we'd like to put in our healing circle. Do you want to talk about our healing circle?
I do. On our Facebook page, which is just Psychic Teachers, no space, just Psychic Teachers, if you join us on our Facebook page, if you would like to add in anyone on our Facebook page that you would like to offer healing up for, please do that. And all of us who frequent our Facebook page, please just take a moment to read through and see who folks have, not necessarily a name, but if they've put something in there about a need for healing, please add your prayers to that. Samantha and I both have several friends right now who are in really bad emotional places in terms of love, and so I will be adding some things for them on our Facebook page, and everyone is certainly welcome to join in with us on that.
Yeah, and just take a moment to just say a prayer to send them some Reiki, just to send them some light.
Mm-hmm.
And we just really believe in the power of prayer, and I think it's a wonderful way for us to unite our listeners. And I do want to say, if you all have been to our Facebook page, Deb, I haven't even had a minute this week to share this with you, but I had our settings set wrong on our Facebook page, Deb.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
whoopsie daisy.
Just a little glitch where we could only see what we wrote.
Oh.
And then whatever people commented to what we wrote. And I keep seeing our lovely list of friends growing each week, and I'm like, but why aren't we hearing from them? So finally I went into our settings, and I found out that I had it clicked on just what we comment, and so I unclicked that, and now I saw that people have been posting questions and comments.
Oops. Oh, pardon us, folks. We're so sorry.
Oh, I felt terrible. And so I went back for, like, the last month and answered those questions, but I figured the ones, like, back in November, they're probably not going to go back and check all the way back there. So we apologize profusely. That is now fixed.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah. Oh, we're so sorry, folks. So there we go. Okay, well, all right. I'm glad you fixed that. Thank you so much.
Okay, so
let's talk about love.
What are some of your best tips for manifesting love, Deb?
Well, Let me start with some caveats here about that. I'm a firm believer in love. I think love is a great thing. I think the world needs much more of it. As we were planning the blurb on Blog Talk about this, I wanted to say things like, all you need is love, and I believe in love, and, you know, all those music lines and whatnot, and I resisted. I think that when we think of love, most of us immediately, of course, think of romantic love, and we'll be talking later about lots of different kinds of love, but since this is our Valentine's show, we'll start there with romantic love. And I cannot tell you, and you know this is true because you and I have talked about it, where so many people come to us, and the question is, when will I find my perfect mate? Well, the answer to that is never, because nobody's ever perfect. But will you find someone who is a connection for you and really will resonate for you and be a good teacher for you and someone you have attracted to you in this lifetime? Probably. But when folks come to me and say, when will Billy love me? Billy specifically, whoever, Billy, John, whatever, whoever. I always have to say, You can't necessarily do that because the universe may have bigger and better plans for you. So if somebody comes to me and says, well, I want to do some kind of a ritual or I want to manifest this particular relationship, I always add a note of caution there that really may not be in your best interest. So don't go there. Don't go there because that really may not be the best thing for you.
Well, but just think about some of your really bad relationships and think about in the beginning how excited and positive you were about those bad relationships. Imagine if we really could manifest that person liking us when really they're horrible for us.
Oh, absolutely. And all of us who have been in relationships with that person that we just knew was going to be the be-all, end-all, and lo and behold, they weren't, but we learned some valuable lessons in the process. That's part of the growing and the learning in love. And to have manifest that person is not necessarily what you need to do. So you need to trust the process. Really where I think you need to start is to just opening yourself up to the idea of love in general. Just opening your heart so that love can come in rather than drawing in a specific person.
Mm-hmm.
But really just surrounding yourself with that whole notion of love and kindness. So here's a little, a real simple thing you can do with that. Light a candle. Sit very quietly. Do some meditating. Light a candle. And visualize that your heart is just surrounded by white light that protects you. At the same time, it opens you up to loving and to being loved. And then you might want to write a poem, just maybe two or three lines. Doesn't have to rhyme. Nobody's going to read it. You know, just some kind of a little message or a little poem that says, I am willing to risk. I am willing to trust the process. I am willing to open myself to the notion of someone who is right and perfect for me at this time, and that I release all that blocks my way in order to allow my heart to open up. And then after you do that small, simple little ritual, you might want to spend a few minutes every morning or evening repeating this and just feeling your heart opening like a flower. And give yourself permission to be open to whoever might come along. Don't put limits on it. Oh, it's got to be somebody who is tall and dark and handsome. Well, Mr. Wright might not be so tall. He might be bald, you know, whatever. But in terms of his or her insides, that's really what you want to look for. So just opening yourself to love to begin with.
I think that's great. Mm-hmm. And I think the most important next step is opening yourself to loving yourself.
Absolutely. In fact, I actually think that comes first, in my opinion.
I think it's so frightening, really, how few people really love themselves.
Mm-hmm. And I bet every one of us listening to this show tonight has been in that place in our lives where we have really, really, really wanted the perfect person to come along. We have waited. And finally we have said, forget it, never mind, I can take care of myself, I am just content with who I am, I like me, I'm doing what I'm doing here, I don't care, and then guess what? There is your perfect partner.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've moved into a place of not needingness, but wanting,
mm-hmm.
and of having contentment within ourselves.
That's right, and so mm-hmm. I think that's the most important thing, is to learn how to have a relationship with yourself,
mm-hmm.
how to have a good time, you know, just being alone, whatever that might be, whether it's, you know, eating a meal by yourself, going to the movies, if it's, you know, whatever it is. But just in learning to enjoy your own company, I really
mm-hmm.
think that's the greatest gift that you can learn to give yourself. I blogged about this a while ago when I had a lot of clients coming to see me who were in very bad relationships and just did not want to leave these very bad relationships. I have a woman who's been coming to see me for several years now. She comes about every 4 to 6 months. She's been married, I don't know, over 15 years. And every time she comes to see me, she's in a new affair with a new man.
Wow.
And I always say to her, when are you going to leave your husband? First of all, the karma you're creating is really creepy and bad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're definitely going to have to come back and make this better with all these people. And secondly, it's just hurting your husband. It's not good. And she said, well, I just don't want to be alone.
Wow.
And so I thought, goodness me. So one of the things that I suggest is just learning to appreciate your own company. And I know for some of you, that's very scary. I know it is. I have some friends who can't go an hour in silence by themselves.
Wow.
They have to be talking on the phone. They have to be texting. They have to be out in their neighborhood. They have to be at work. They have to be in the know. They have to go, 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 go. Because an hour by themselves is just too scary. And I'm telling you all to face that fear, because the more you can learn to enjoy your own company, the happier you will be. And I don't mean that in the respects to the less you need people, the happier you'll be. I don't mean that. I let's just go ahead and quote Barbara Streisand, because people who need people are the luckiest people. We need people. We're a social group. But we also need to learn how to be happy all by ourselves. And that was one of the entries I blogged about, was how my childhood was fairly lonely just because we moved so much. And I was constantly in this position of having to meet new friends. And I consider that one of the greatest gifts that my parents could have given me, because I really learned how to enjoy my own company.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taken that with me throughout my life, and it's wonderful to just really enjoy yourself. And Deb, I know you're the exact same way.
Oh, I am such an introvert. And so I cherish, crave, have to have that alone time. And unlike you, I didn't move as a child,
mm-hmm.
but I lived at the very northern end of an island. And so my playmates were, you know, the seagulls and the seashells on the beach. And so I learned to do a whole lot of things by myself as a child. And that resonated very nicely with my introversion. But I do enjoy my own company. I crave to the silence. I have to have it.
And, you know, for any of you that are Christian or are going to be celebrating Lent coming up, which is so late this year, a wonderful thing to give, you know, for Lent, you're supposed to give something up, but it's also a wonderful time to add something to your life. Do you know what I mean? Like, for example, this Lent, I'm giving up Diet Coke. God help me.
Bless you, dear.
I know. And one of the things that I'm going to add to my life is trying to do, you know, one kindness every day. So you can give something up and you can add something. And so this might be a good opportunity for you all to try those. And I know most of our listeners are like, yeah, I'm already good with myself. Thanks, Samantha. But some of you I know are, you know, are not. And I know many of you listeners are going through some pretty traumatic divorces and some other difficult situations where it's going to be important to really enjoy your own company. And so if that's the case, you know, maybe just try enjoying being by yourself in the silence of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
The wonderful book I read years ago that helped me with that, I believe it's called Reaching Out, and it's written by a priest. And it's about how he gave up all noise for Lent 1 year. For 40 days, he had no TV, no phone, no radio,
mm-hmm.
no nothing. And he talks about how it amazed him how we don't make room for ourselves in our lives anymore.
Absolutely. You know, I love my silent retreats I go on. Those are real re-nourishing times
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think one of the things that, and particularly this time of year, and speaking of the media, folks are bombarded with the notion that romance and love has to cost a lot of money.
I know.
And that drives me up a tree.
I know.
And so, really, you do not need a forever million-dollar diamond pendant necklace thing to say to your partner that you love her.
Speak for yourself. No, I'm kidding.
You know what Mae West
might be listening.
You know what Mae West said about that.
What?
Somebody said, goodness, those are lovely diamonds. And she said, goodness, had nothing to do with it. So, but I really would invite folks, particularly in these economic times, joking aside, to think about a coupon book of helping with chores or what, just something that is not money related. Money can't buy you love. It really can't. So just think about what's really valuable in your relationship.
Welcome to my world. My poor husband, for the last 3 years, he's gotten a one-hour Reiki for Valentine's.
What a gift.
Yeah, after paying the babysitter for our Valentine date night, that's all we managed. So I think there's nothing wrong with that, too. But I also think that it's important, as we're talking about love and attracting love and learning to love yourself, one of the things that I recommend to a lot of my clients, especially my life coaching clients, is to write down a list of what you love about yourself.
Mm, good one.
Because a lot of people have a really hard time doing that.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to learn to write down, you know, sometimes I call it, like, if I were talking to you, I would call it the book of Deb. What's going to go in your book of Deb? And write down some of the great things about yourself, some of the great things that you've done. We, especially us women, we have the hardest time patting ourselves on the back. And that makes me sad. And the other thing I want to talk about is to we've all done this, but just reminisce for a moment on all the lies you've been sold growing up about love.
Mm-hmm.
If you just look at the fairy tales, they end on the wedding day, people. Who can't get there as a happy person? Right?
Yeah, it's the week after that's the problem.
That's right. And they never show you about all the craziness of the families meshing either. But we're told that it's the man who's going to save you. That drives me insane. If you look at every single major love story that you're told as a child, Cinderella, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Ariel, whatever it is, it's the man who comes in and saves you. And so I think oftentimes women believe that they have to be saved by a man, that they have to be completed, don't get me started on that stupid Jerry Maguire movie, by a man. And I think women feel like they have to rescue their woman, and so oftentimes there's weirdnesses if the woman is more successful or makes more money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So just to even reflect for a moment on all of the silliness that we're taught as children, not to mention the one-dimensional view of relationships that we're taught.
Well, you know, I want to add a couple of things to that. Some years ago, there was a book published called The Cinderella Complex,
mm-hmm.
and it speaks to exactly what you've just said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was reading that book at a time in my life where I just ended a relationship. I was not feeling very good about myself or the whole world around me. And a male friend of mine came into my house, saw me, the book was on the sofa, he looked at the book and he snorted and he said, "Huh, you don't have a Cinderella complex, you've got a Sleeping Beauty complex. Cinderella at least got up and went to the ball." And I thought, wow, isn't that the truth? I didn't like that truth, but he was right.
That's awesome.
And he really was right about I needed to get up, get over my pity party, and really think about doing some things to take care of me, but at the same time not waiting for the fairy godmother or for Prince Charming to come along. And I think we do that. I remember, this is how old I am, folks, so just here we go, bear me out here. There used to be this thing called a typewriter. And I remember my father saying, I needed to learn to type so I could get a job in case something happened to my husband.
Oh, please. Telling you, look, I'm you know, a little bit younger than you, and I can remember telling my mother I wanted to be a lawyer, and I can remember her plain as day in that kitchen looking at me and saying, "Oh, honey, just marry one. I don't want you to have to work when you get older."
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. But, you know, our psyche, even though you and I laugh at this, our psyche bought that.
We sure did. Well, you know, the one thing I always wanted to be from the age of four was a spy.
Oh, you make a good one.
And when I found the James Bond movies, I was like, this is it. And my family completely talked me out of it. When I was in high school, I talked to my dad about joining the FBI, and I remember he said, no, you're a pretty girl. They'll turn you into an undercover prostitute.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. And you and I both know an undercover police officer who is a lovely young woman.
I know.
Isn't that something?
Anyway, so we are fed a whole bill of goods with that whole thing. Now, there's two other big points I want to bring up before we get into our metaphysical remedies and, recipes, I guess you could call them, for attracting
mm-hmm.
love into
mm-hmm.
your life.
We'll do that. We have a break coming up after that, before that. Okay.
Yes, before that. I just want to mention, and I'm curious, Deb, because we've never discussed this, so I'm curious to see if you agree with me. But in all my years of doing readings and working with clients, one thing that I have learned, or I should say observed, is that the parent that you grew up having the most problems with is the person you will attract to you to date.
Oh, indeed. Absolutely
right?
Agree with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's very important because in my mind, in my experience, my life, of having patterns repeat themselves. The way I have broken them is simply by recognizing them. And then poof, it's like magic. I don't attract that same person again. And so I think it's important to look at which parents you have the most problems with. And if you're like me, you're like, well, gee, that's a toss-up. Deb, I don't know how you'd answer that because you had that golden childhood.
Well, there were certainly many, many, many arguments with my father that, you know, yeah. And,
sure.
And indeed, there were certainly many times that I thought, oh, good Lord, have mercy, you are daddy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You are my daddy. Yeah.
And I think it's very important to recognize that. That'll help you to release that pattern of who you're attracting in your life. I also think it's important to look at your parents and if you liked what they had, to consciously try to attract that. And if you didn't like what they had, to consciously try not to attract that.
You know, yes, my parents were married for 51 years until my father died. And no, theirs was, of course, not a perfect marriage. There is no such thing. But did they deeply, deeply love and care about each other? Indeed, they did. I learned a lot of lessons about compromise and about commitment from my parents' relationship. And on their 50th wedding anniversary, as we were getting ready for the party that my sister and I were giving them, I said to my father, "What's the secret of this marriage?" He didn't even take a deep breath. He did not even have to think about the question. His response was immediate, and his response was, "Your mother comes first, and your mother is always right." To which my mother replied, "That's right." But he loved her so deeply, and it was a beautiful thing to watch.
You know, I've only been married 13 years, so I can't say I know the secret to marriage. But I'd have to say I totally agree with your father, and I'd have to add an amendment to that.
Uh-huh.
Take the D word off the table, people, if you can. Agree that, you know, I think I've said before on the show that I always have the four A's, and I told my husband, Michael, right from the beginning, you break one of those A's, you're out. Other than that, the D word is not going to be mentioned. And once there's not necessarily an out, unless you know, my four A's are adultery, addiction, abuse, and my fourth one is emotional abandonment, which I see a lot of men do. And so I've always said that. And once you don't have that D word on the table...
The word is divorce, folks.
Sorry,
it's okay. It took me a minute to get with you because you know me and the D word, divorce.
The divorce word. Once you get rid of that, then fighting becomes not really that important because you're in this together. You're stuck together. You might as well enjoy each other.
Right, right.
And I think it's important to recognize the patterns that your parents set up, and if you like them, repeat them. If you don't like them, break them.
Absolutely. And how many times have we heard folks say, well, I love him, but I don't like him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, by golly, it's important to like him.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to be friends.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Right. Okay. So let's take a break and tell folks who we are, and then we'll get back to some of the metaphysical pieces that we want to talk about. You are listening to The Psychic Teachers. I am Deb Bowen.
I'm Samantha Fay.
And we are honored and delighted that you are joining us here tonight on Psychic Teachers Podcast on Blog Talk Radio. You can connect with us in several different ways. In addition to downloading archived editions of this show, which have been on the air for almost a year now. We're going to have an anniversary show coming up here in the 1st of March. You can also download us from iTunes. You can take a look at all the work we do on our website, which is www.psychicteachers.com. And from that website, you can also get to Samantha's website and blogs and my website and our blogs. You can join us on Facebook, as we mentioned earlier. It's just Psychic Teachers with no space between the words on Facebook. We are offering a telecourse. We've been doing this for a couple of months now, and we are excited to offer a telecourse on Tuesday, February 22nd, 8:30 to 10 o'clock Eastern Time. And the topic of this telecourse is Energy Vampires and Psychic Protection. Only $25 to register for the course. If you go to Samantha's website, you'll be directed to PayPal to pay for that.
We'd love to have you join us on our telecourse. Also like to suggest to you that you listen to our wonderful friend Dale Ruttman, who is on the air right before us at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Her show is called Mindbender. I was blessed to be her guest this week. It was really fun to be with Dale for an hour before this show, and Samantha will be her guest next week.
Yay.
Yay. Have I forgotten anything?
No, I don't think so. That's great. Thank
you. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Okay. Sorry.
So, manifesting love. All right. So, the big thing that I mentioned, I said there were two things I wanted to mention, and one is recognizing the patterns in your life and consciously breaking them. And the other big thing that I see when I do readings is I will energetically see someone filling up your entire heart space, not allowing anyone new to come in. So it's very important when you've gone through a bad breakup to get that person out of your energy. And the only way to do that is through forgiveness and acceptance. And I think sometimes it's very hard for someone to forgive a breakup and to accept that this has ended. Would you agree with that, Deb?
Oh, it is. We hold on. We stay angry. Mm-hmm. We grieve. We do all sorts of well, grieving is okay. You need a time for that. But we hold on to that for a long time. And once all that anger and pain stays in your heart and fills it, there's no room for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta let it go. You gotta forgive and move on and wish that other person the best path for them so that you have room in your life to walk your own path.
And I think it's important to note that, you know how Deb said a really important thing is to open your heart to all types of love and to see the connectivity between all of that. That's important because when you get to that state of awareness where you can see that all the good people and all the bad people in your life have contributed to the good person that you are now, you can reach out to those negative people with love.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think it's important to realize that every person in your life has touched you in some way for the better. And I know some of you are sitting there thinking about that person who robbed your home, that person who sexually assaulted you, that person who stole all your money in a divorce. You're thinking about people who did horrible things to you. And I'm saying, yes, even those people are teachers and have left blessings in your life, even though they might be horrible, awful people. Am I saying that?
You are, and that's so hard for folks to accept when they have been so wounded. Certainly it is. It's hard.
But it makes our life much more meaningful and complete when we can look at all those negative parts of our life and the positive parts of our life and see how they have left their mark. You know, there's that poem I posted it on my blog. I don't have it in front of me now, but it talks about how we start off in this life as a blank canvas,
mm-hmm.
and everyone who crosses our path takes up their brush and makes his or her mark, but it's up to us whether we're to become just another painting or a masterpiece.
Right.
So ultimately, we can't live in our sorrow, our regret, our anger, and our unforgiveness. We have to learn to release these people and the hurt that they've caused us because it's only harming us, not them. That guy who cheated on you, he's off cheating on someone else right now. He's not thinking about you.
That's right.
So you spending time woeing and worrying and hating him is only hurting you.
You know, even, and certainly in personal relationships, this is so important. But I've even started to try to do that with people I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Driving down the road, somebody cuts me off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the instant, almost automatic response to that. And instead, what I have been trying to consciously do is take a deep breath and say to that person, blessings on you, and I hope the rest of your day is safe.
Oh, yeah, everybody, try this tomorrow. I'm telling you, it'll leave you so flippin' happy. And you'll feel silly the first time. You'll go, oh, my gosh, those Deb and Samantha people, what are they doing to me? But I promise you, it'll make you so much happier at the end of the day. As you go through your day, as you're walking through the corridors of work, as you're driving on traffic, as you're in the grocery store, as you're in pickup line at your kid's school, wherever you are tomorrow, every person that walks past you, throw them light.
Mm-hmm.
And say, I send you light and love, my blessings on you. I send you light and love, my blessings on you. And I always wrap them in pink light just because I love pink light.
I know, And I always watch them in white light. So, you know, pick your color, folks.
Pick your color. Gold is too good, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I was behind a car not long ago, and the license plate, it was one word on the license plate, and the word was doxology. There was no way not to spend the rest of my day singing the doxology. So, and I bet I've just done that to a lot of people. There's no way. And what do you do? I mean, you that sends out so much light and kindness into the world to sing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Mm-hmm.
And so take those negative relationships that you may have encountered in your life. And let's face it, you know, if you're past 20, we've all encountered at least one, right? And think about the lessons that you learned from that not-so-great relationship. And think about what a better person you are now because of it. And that'll start to release that person from your heart if he or she is still there.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's very important to forgive and approve of yourself. A lot of times what's holding people back from allowing love into their life is fear. Afraid of getting hurt again, afraid of hurting that person. Sometimes you might be the one who always breaks up with the person. You might be the one who's the commitment phobe. You might be the one who's the cheater. And start to recognize those things in your life, not with an attitude of judgment and self-hatred, but with an attitude of, let's discover where this came from. Why do I have to cheat on everyone I date? Why do I have to run from a relationship before I can experience commitment? And try to really dig down to those roots and learn to forgive and heal that within yourself. That'll also allow you to attract a more positive partner, because let's face it, we attract to our lives whatever and whoever we are.
Right. There's, you know, we talk a lot on this show about affirmations, and one that I think is real important, is real simple, but it's real powerful. I attract what I radiate.
Mm-hmm.
I attract what I radiate.
So some metaphysical exercises that Deb and I want you to try. The basic one is the list.
Yeah.
You've got to write your list.
I'm a firm list maker.
Me too. So
yeah,
you've got to write down, you know, my new, I hate the word soulmate personally, so I don't want to say that.
And soulmates are not necessarily romantic mates.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I think we have more than one soulmate, so we could do a whole show on this, but, you know, one of my dearest and best soulmates that I know we have been through so many lifetimes together do not have a romantic relationship in this lifetime.
That's right. That's right. So that's why I just don't like that word. But you can just say my new boyfriend,
perfect,
girlfriend, romantic partner, whatever word you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to write it this way. I am so happy that my new romantic partner is, : And then write your list.
And write it, and that's important, writing it in the present tense.
Yes.
Yes.
And you want to write down everything, people, such as employed. Right?
Yes. Funny, kind.
Funny, kind, successful, open-minded. Even that, you have to be careful.
You do.
Saying that, going, oh, no.
Yeah, because I'm also hearing my grandmama here say, be careful what you ask for, you'll
get
it.
That's right. So
be
you want to make sure that you put down everything that you want on there. And whatever you don't want, just frame it in the positive. Because if you write down, is not overweight, your subconscious doesn't hear the word not. So you'll
That's
just
right.
hear, is overweight. So then just frame that in the positive, is physically fit.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And then make a second list of who you are and what you offer into a relationship. That's really important,
that
too.
That is very important. And I always recommend putting those on your bathroom mirror, just because I know that's the place you go at least twice a day when you're brushing your teeth, and you can make sure to read it. But you can put it anywhere. You can put it on your refrigerator where you will see this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read that twice a day, every day, I promise that you will meet this person. It's worked for everyone I've known.
And trust the universe's timing, which is often very different than ours.
Mm-hmm.
So don't set limits.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say, oh, by June 1st, for example. Don't do that, because you may have missed a really good opportunity on June 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, you want to make sure that you're open to letting the universe decide for you. When I did my goal book, And I put my list on the back of my page that said, I am happily engaged. And then I put my list of who I was happily engaged to. I was dating my boyfriend of, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, and I just assumed it would be him. And I finished that goal book in May of, '95. And by October, he and I were broken up, and I was living where I'm living now. And I had just come here just to kind of stay with family and lick my wounds from that long relationship that had broken up. And lo and behold, I had my first date with my husband January 26th of '96, and we were engaged 6 months later on July 26th. So it's amazing. When I wrote that list, it was May of '95. I was living in Arizona, happily dating my boyfriend from college. And then flash forward a year later, I'm engaged to someone else that I'm deeply in love with, still married to, and living in a different state.
Mm-hmm.
So you just never know where that list will take you.
You really don't. So you got to trust the process and trust the timing.
So I think that's important. The second important thing besides your list is to release anyone who's still in your heart. And this is not even just people that you haven't forgiven. It's people that you're still yearning for. If any of you out there are Facebook stalkers and you know who you are, I'm talking to you.
Want to know what that old boyfriend's got on his Facebook page?
That's right.
Don't go there.
No. What you want to do, and you can either do this with physical things, or you can, or if you have a good imagination, you do it with your imagination. You can take two hearts, and you can hole punch them and string them with ribbon, and you can write your name on one and his name on the other, and you can cut the ribbons. So that you're literally cutting the cords that are attaching you to this person.
To the old boyfriend.
To the old boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Or girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just imagine golden cords going from your heart to his or her heart. And picture yourself picking up golden scissors and cutting those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Chrysocolla is a really good stone to use to help you release someone from your heart. You can say, you know, something like, I'm grateful for this relationship, but I am now releasing you from my heart.
Yeah, exactly. You have to move that stuff out to make room. I think we've probably beaten that horse to death, but it really is true. It really is true. And then, with that list of the qualities of the person you want, in that list, when you feel like you've got it finished, in that list with, or someone better.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may have forgotten a really important piece of the puzzle or a quality that you really might need or want or that the universe has in mind for you in learning lessons in this lifetime. So give the universe some wiggle room there.
Yes, this or someone better.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very, very important. Now, another thing you can do, a lot of times Deb and I have talked about this, especially after our reading nights, is we see a lot of people who come to us and they want to know when love is coming to them, but their heart chakra is closed, and we
right.
can see that, and it breaks our heart. It's almost like they put up an electric fence around their heart.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I'm not letting you in anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so the list is very helpful. Putting pink light around yourself and everyone else is very helpful. But there's also some fun metaphysical things you can do. Taking a weekly bath with rose quartz is a great thing to do to help open your heart chakra. Just take a warm bath and just literally toss in some big rose quartz chunks,
mm-hmm.
smooth or raw, and know that water will be helping to invigorate your heart chakra. You can also just lay down on bed and sleep with or meditate with a rose quartz, a chrysocolla. Malachite is a great stone to meditate with to help you release any trauma that might have closed up that heart chakra.
Mm-hmm.
And then just always, I always think it's good just to finish that meditation with the rose quartz because that'll just help to slowly and lovingly open that heart chakra so that you can allow love to come in.
Right. You can use herbs. You can work with herbs to help with this. Rosemary for remembrance of good times and qualities that you would like to attract, rose petals, fragrant rose petals. You can sprinkle some rose oil on them, lavender. You can make if you just take a piece of white cloth or like an old-fashioned handkerchief and just a pinch of rosemary and rose petals and lavender, lovage, some basil, perhaps, to just all, and then just tie it all up together. Maybe sprinkle a little patchouli oil on it, or lavender oil, or rose oil, and just tie it up with a pink ribbon, and then keep that with you wherever you go. And as you breathe that in, just smell it every once in a while during the course of your day. Put it in your purse or whatever, and just breathe that in. And when you do that, when you're breathing in the fragrances of some of those herbs, what you're doing is really, it's almost an unconscious prayer of attraction to bring to you the love that is represented by those herbs.
Deb, can you talk about what we were mentioning before the show about love spells?
Well, yeah, I can. Don't do them. you can. But don't, you know, I can't tell you how many folks I've talked to who've said, oh, you know, I read in a book somewhere that if I take a pink candle and a knife and I carve my intended's name on it and let it burn down, that in 7 days he'll show up. Wrong. No points. Not a good plan. Again, it's that you are interfering with the free will of someone else when you do that. It is not okay to do that. In my belief, it's real simple. Do not harm anyone else. And when you take away the potential for their free will in casting such kind of a love spell, that's not an okay thing to do. Some years ago, for a crazy bunch of reasons, I ended up in a voodoo shop in New Orleans. I cannot tell you how horribly uncomfortable I was for a lot of reasons, but there was one whole wall in this store that was filled with love potions and love candles and this and that and the other. And I thought, oh my golly, please tell me people don't really come in here and buy this stuff to really attract a particular person, and I'm sure they do. But there are some things that you can do. There is an attraction technique that you can do, not again for a specific person, but just to bring in the notion of love into your life. You can use a pink or a red candle, rose petals, rose quartz. You can put all of those things around you in kind of a little altar, and or you might do it outside on a full moon, might be a nice time to do this. But bring those things around you, because you have intentionally, with the stones, with the rose petals, with the candles, you have really kind of put yourself in the middle of an altar of love. And if you close your eyes and visualize yourself happy and loved and secure in a good, healthy relationship, and again, you might want to write a little poem about that in some way, and send that poem or prayer up to your guides and angels, or to your higher spiritual power. And you've begun a manifesting process in doing that for someone who is going to be the right person for you, but not a specific person.
And we just have about 5 minutes left, and I think it's important to mention, if for those of you listening who are already in a good relationship, some fun things you can do to continue promoting it. And before we talk about some metaphysical things, I just want to talk about an article I read in a women's magazine that I just thought was spot on and hilarious. The author said, if we all treated our spouse or partner like we treat our dog, we would not need divorce attorneys in this country.
Isn't that great and true?
And she said, think about it. When you come home, you're so excited to see your dog. You're like, oh, did you miss mommy? How are you? You give them great big kisses and hugs. You talk baby talk to them. You pamper them. Sometimes you pick up a special treat at the grocery store for them. When they make a mess on the carpet, you don't kick them out of bed at night. You forget. You clean it up, and you say, oh, bad dog, bad dog. And then you climb into bed, and the dog climbs in with you, and you're fine and happy again. You don't hold resentments. When the dog does pee in the carpet the next week, you don't say, well, now you did this last week at 3 o'clock. What were you thinking? you just say, oh, bad dog, and you clean it up again. And so she was going through this whole thing, and I thought, wouldn't that be so true if we really could think about treating our spouse like we do our beloved pets? Do you like that, Deb?
I do. I do.
But metaphysically, I think I've mentioned this once before on the show, so forgive me if I'm being repetitive, but one of my favorite cures is to take an amethyst cluster and a citrine cluster and keep them either in the southwest corner of your living room or place them by your bedside table. And those two in conjunction work to bring harmonious, loving feelings to an already existing relationship. And you can put it by a pair of red candles or by a picture of the two of you. I also think it's very important to keep pictures around the house of the two of you when you are very, very happy and in love.
Say the stones again, Samantha.
Sure. An amethyst cluster
and
a citrine cluster.
And a citrine cluster. Nice. Okay. Good.
Right. The citrine helps you to come to the relationship with a feeling of commitment and self-assuredness and self-confidence. And the amethyst helps for you to come to that relationship with a feeling of overall supreme love and spirituality.
There you go. There you go. And you bring up for me what is the real key,
mm-hmm.
is remembering that your relationship is a spiritual one.
That's right.
An existing relationship or one that you might like to embark upon. That keeping spirit first,
mm-hmm.
keeping the idea that the person that you love is a spiritual being, and keeping that in the forefront, that helps you to get past a whole lot of, you know, waking you up peeing on the floor in the middle of the night.
And I think it's important to not try to change your partner.
Oh, you can't.
Just to accept them and love them for who they are.
You know, I love the prayer that is the Serenity Prayer that is used in 12-step programs. But one of my favorite prayers is a takeoff on that, and it is this: Spirit, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the person I can, and the wisdom to know that person is me.
Hmm, that's exactly true.
Isn't that wonderful? You can't change somebody else. You can't do it.
No, and I am by no means perfect or fun to live with. Neither is my husband, but I have come to accept that he will never, ever change the toilet paper roll when it's empty. He just will never do it. I can stack up brand new rolls, so he won't do it. He will open doors and leave them open. He'll open cabinets. He'll do all those things that will drive me crazy. But I'm not going to get mad at those things anymore. I'm going to look at the wonderful things that he does do and focus on those.
Right.
And I think that's a very light example, but I think it's an important one.
It is, and to take responsibility for your own feelings. Your partner doesn't make you feel anything.
That's right.
We choose our emotions in a relationship, whether they're good or bad.
That's right.
Nobody says, oh, he doesn't make you mad. You choose to be mad.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And we have to just let our partner be who he or she wants to be. Let them dress the way they want. Let them, you know, do what they want to do in, you know, what am I trying to say, Deb?
Within limits?
Yeah, I mean, we're not
go?
Talking about free love here, people, okay?
No, we're not.
You know, my husband, for example, loves UFC. Deb, you know how much I hate that, right? But
yeah,
if I'm flipping through the guide and I see a new Ultimate Fighting show is coming on, I go, oh, Mike, guess what? 9 o'clock. You know?
You're a good fighter.
No, because it makes him happy. And so I think it's important to remember that. Accept who you are, accept who you've chosen to love, and you will bring more love into your life.
Absolutely. And we're out of time, so just in closing, in light of tomorrow, know that you are loved and send love to the world around you. And tomorrow really will be a day where all we need and have is love.
Practice a random act of kindness tomorrow. Pay for someone's meal in the drive-thru behind you. Wave happily to someone if they cut you off.
Just really do think about manifesting and sending love tomorrow.
Thank you so much for being such wonderful, amazing listeners. Please reach out to us on Facebook or email, and we look forward to talking to you all next week.
Thank you all so much, and have a wonderful week. Good night. Be blessed.
Bye-bye.